The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly. And I do me proudly, brought to you by BetMGM, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly? Good?
Good. Let's go Cats, baby. South Florida fan now and always, Gil Alexander.
Yes, sure. Sure. This guy. Homer. Florida Panthers, what he's referring to, obviously. The Panthers sweep the Hurricanes. Don't call them Slurry Canes, or maybe now you can. They sweep them, but they sweep them by four total goals, and they do so yesterday 4-3. After the Hurricanes had tied it up with under 3 minutes to go. And then with just over 4 seconds to go, I keep wanting to say Keith Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk does it again. Panthers put the biscuit in the basket, and they are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals to take on the winner of the Golden Knights Stars Series. Andy McNeil will join us momentarily to talk about game four of that series. And obviously, the Knights have a 3-0 lead in that series. So you would think it's fait accompli, to use the French. It's only happened 4 times in the history of the NHL where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. But in the end, we could be staring NBA and NHL 3 out of the 4 conference finals end up being sweeps. We'll see if Vegas gets that done tonight. And of course, the fourth, the one that isn't, we'll talk about with Tom Byrne from Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight. We'll talk about that game with him momentarily. I will say this, it's back to 8.5 now. I did bet the Heat. I do have the Heat plus $2 to win the series. Did so after game one. But at 8.5, Kelly, I'm sorry. There was a strategy this morning. Do I just wait to see if it goes higher, or do I just bet this now? And I just bet this now.
I think at 8.5, that would be a buy point. We don't talk about it often, but the kind of those key number ranges in the NBA, you're looking 5 to 8 is when you get about where you get about 24% of games land in that area range. So yeah, I think 8.5. But your thinking is also, like, if anybody wanted to bet it small now and then wait till later to add on, that's fine, too. Because I think, as you hinted at, I think this line's only moving one way still the rest of the day. It's Boston's way.
The folks who have the Celtics tickets to either win this series, bet after game three, or to win the whole title, they are just getting more and more excited by this. More and more. You can feel it in the air, palpable. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But it will dissipate in a heartbeat when it does, right? Like, all that talk will just go by the wayside.
Oh, totally.
But if it ever was going to happen, I understand your reasoning, but I hope everybody understands mine, which is that mathematically, yes, it's a good bet on paper.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you are required to play every edge you see in life.
I kind of hope, Gil, that it gets to 6 just so both sides are, like, butting heads completely. Like we at least – we go to game 7. I mean, it's 3-3. We at least go to game 7 so that we get really, really bullish arguments on either side of this. But, we were talking about yesterday. If this was 3 months ago, heck yeah. Like, this is – I would absolutely believe the Celtics could rally off 3 wins against this team. But – this is a different story. This is a different day we live in now at this point in the season, and Miami Heat have effectively broken my brain.
Yep.
So all I can tell you is, yes, I think the point spread has gotten to the point where if you were looking at betting the game tonight, the Heat is the only side I could consider.
The other big thing, we'll talk about this momentarily with Tom Byrne again, so we'll shelve this for now. The other big thing that happened globally in sports this morning, about 2 hours from now, right after this show, I am doing the Beating the Book French Open preview pod from this studio with Drew Dinsick and with Dan Weston. So really just for tennis hardos, as Drew calls them, a must listen coming up. And they just had the French Open draw. Now I have, by the way, side note, there's also clay court tournaments going on right now. There's one in Morocco. And our man Bill Ady typically gives me white glove service on the getting the picks on the picks page. So I'm sorry, listeners, that didn't get this pick. But we had Julia Riera this morning at plus 249, and she gets it home against Yulia Putintseva. So the Will Hill and folks are blowing up the spot right now. Everybody's pumped. But I'm sorry it didn't get on the picks page. We do have one other pick today. It's Arthur Phil, I guess is how you pronounce it in French, but it's spelled Arthur Phils.
Wait, are you serious?
What's that?
Like, there's all these names I can't pronounce, and then this one that I obviously think is just Arthur Phils is not at all?
No, I think it might be Arthur Phils. I've never heard it pronounced. But it's spelled for those of us listening here, right? Arthur Fils is what F-I-L-S. He's taking on Felix Auger-Aliassime. You can pronounce Felix Auger-Aliassime, right?
Yeah. That one has been years now.
So we hit on Riera at plus 249. At least we can give you this one now. Plus 193 on Fils. Again, his clay court number is really, really solid. Auger-Aliassime not playing his best tennis. That's a good bet here coming up in a couple hours. But anyway, we're doing the French Open. The French Open draw just occurred right before the show, so I haven't had a chance to like fully jump in and analyze. We'll save that for the podcast. But what I can tell you, I'm a little more familiar with the men's draw at this point, and the big headline sort of on the men's side is that Carlitos and Joker ended up on the same half of the draw. So, and the reason that happens is because Djokovic was not a number one or a number two seed. He was actually a number three seed. So Alcaraz at number one gets planted at the top. Medvedev gets planted at number two at the bottom. And then the rest is sort of a free-for-all. Not exactly, but kind of. So Joker and Alcaraz, the two betting favorites, if you will, end up on the same side of the draw. So if they were to meet, it would be in a semi, not in a final, which means where's the betting opportunity if not those two guys? And here's the thing in men's tennis. If not those two guys, we could extend this back in men's tennis for decades now, a couple decades with Roger, with Rafa, and with Joker, where it's always like, okay, if not these three guys, which is always a dicey preamble to any sentence. But if you're looking for a bet, if you don't trust Carlitos because he doesn't have enough best of five experience, if you think Joker's not quite back from injury and is not at the top of his game and you're looking for something else to bet, you got to look at the other side of the bracket. And so Jannik Sinner, to me, and Holger Rune in quarter three, Sinner in quarter four with Medvedev, look for those numbers. I haven't seen quarter numbers yet, but I'd be very curious. Rune's in with Casper Ruud. Sinner is in with Medvedev. I'd be very curious to see what those quarter numbers are in them from Q3 and Q4.
I haven't seen quarters yet either, Gil, but I can update this graphic. I punched in these numbers this morning about 2 hours ago. Like you said, we've got the draw since then, so these numbers have shifted a bit. If we want to take that graphic again, guys, we can kind of compare these. Alcaraz now to plus 165. Djokovic to plus 260.
Yeah, they'll drop incrementally because they're on the same side.
Medvedev then moves shortened down to 7-1. You've got Rune at plus 750. Sinner is 11-1 where he was. Ruud up to 14-1. The rest is the same down.
Yeah, Sinner just on a glance there, just eyeing that, Sinner represents, you know, the best of the non-Alcaraz Djokovic value there to me.
He's on the same side with Medvedev?
He's in the same quarter as Medvedev on Q4. But, you know, when we went through our round, Medvedev just came off a big clay court win. I mean, he's, again, when I do my, you know, my all-surface rankings, right, it's Alcaraz, Djokovic, Medvedev, Nadal just out of respect, and then for me it's Sinner at five.
I think we got to fire those back up. Tomorrow, we'll do golf and tennis again. That was fun the one time we did it.
It was. I like those rankings. And then on the women's side, these just came out right before the show, but on the women's side, Iga was done no favors. Iga is on the same half as Elena Rybakina. So Iga, number one seed, planted on one side, Aryna Sabalenka on the other side of the entire 128-player draw. But Rybakina, the third of the betting favorites, is on Iga's side. And in fact, if you look, like, what's the worst-case scenario for Iga Świątek, the world number one? And again, she's won two French Opens already in her three slams. But if you look at what's her worst-case scenario down the stretch of this, she opens up against Kristina Buksa. But talking about now, round of 16, quarters, semis, final, it would be Barbora Krejcikova, Coco Gauff, Elena Rybakina, and Aryna Sabalenka. That would be quite the gauntlet to get through. So if it ends up playing out that way.
Adjusted odds on this one, Gil. Iga down to minus 110 from minus 120.
Makes sense because of that.
Did it adjust enough after what you just said? Or has it yet, I guess?
That's a fair adjustment. It should go. It should be. She should be a little cheaper based on that.
And then Sabalenka plus 550, Rybakina 6-1 still. Anjabur, the major one that I'm seeing, she goes from 14-28-1.
Yeah.
28-1. Krejcikova is 20, Ostapenko 22, Pegula 28.
Okay. So, again, the French Open, we won't get into it too much further here, but if you are interested more in the deep dive, again, Drew Dinsick, Dan Weston, and myself, the Beating the Book French Open preview pod, we will record in a little less than 2 hours. We'll have it out. Jason Kahn will put it out right after that, and we'll be available at the Beating the Book feed or all podcasts are distributed, VSiN.com/podcast.
And then tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. On Best Bets, a special edition with French Open coverage that you'll be on. That will be on the DK Network, all over the place.
Ben Wilson hosting that? Who's hosting that?
Dave Ross.
Yes. All right.
Sauce.
Dave Ross. So he worked out that little dispute he's had off the grid? Okay, I just want to make sure they're letting him in here. Real quick before we go to break and we talk basketball with Tom Byrne, shout out to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Chris Bennett. By the way, still shout out Matt Metcalf, who's stepped away from day-to-day, who did such a great job running the ship over there at Circus Sportsbook. Jeff Benson as well. Jeff Benson, nicest guy in the world. Charles Oakley on Twitter. We'll have to have a talk at some point. Well, how great would an interview be with Fezzik and Benson? We're like, what happens to you two in real life? You're so sweet. And then you get on Twitter and it's like Incredible Hulk. Clothes just come on. What happens? But shout out to all those guys because they just announced they were on with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money. Derek and Mike were. And so the big headlines with Circus Survivor this year, the guarantee in millions is $6 million. The guarantee in Survivor goes from $6 million to $8 million. And the entry limit has been raised five in millions, 10 entries per person in Survivor. So we'll talk about that with Crack later. This won't affect Crack because he's like does 30 every year
right,
anyway.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So there's that. But we'll get into all that with him and see how we'll play it this year.
Can't wait.
So, and just for those who are uninitiated, there is nothing as big as there is in terms of obsession as there is with Survivor. We can't wait. Coming back, basketball with Tom Byrne next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, as always. Call 1-800-522-4700. Kelly, I want to give a shout out to our friends in New England. Hello, New England. We are excited. We really are to bring VSiN Sports Betting Radio to New Hampshire and Massachusetts fans on 106.3 HD2. Tune in for the latest sports betting news and insights 24/7, 365. That's hours, days, and year. And days of the week and days of the year for you, Kelly. VSiN now on the air in Nashua, New Hampshire. Hey, Nashua, Northern Massachusetts, and the outskirts of Boston on VSiN Radio 106.3 HD2 WFNQ. Listen to VSiN 24/7, 365 or free in HD radio on 106.3 FM HD2.
There
Nashua.
We go.
Nashua. It's about a little less than an hour northwest from Leechmere Square.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Break it out, Mr. Tufts. Where else are we going to?
Yeah, you know, maybe, Worcester.
Worcester,
by the way, spelled with about 75 letters. I used to be like, how is this pronounced Worcester? Walk me through that. A little New England insight for you. Let's talk some hoops. Speaking of New England and the Boston Celtics, trying to make history, we bring in Tom Byrne, host of Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight at 1, Tom Byrne. That's the number 1, Tom Byrne, BYRNE. How you doing, Tom?
Doing well, Gil. Always appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for being here. Listen, the obvious question at the top, because Kelly and I were just talking off air, we've said all we can say at this point for this. Do you think the Celtics can pull off history and be the first team to ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best-of-7 series in NBA history?
Can they? Absolutely. Will they? Probably not. I think if you look at the implied probability at the sports books, you're going to get around 30%. I'd put it around 31%. So I think it's right there in that range. But you guys are aware this number is already at 8.5, which is not a surprise. That's where I put it. I know you guys are going to take Miami. I know you will, Gil. I don't know about Kelly. And it makes sense. Miami is a very difficult team to predict right now, as is Boston because of the high variance offense. The fact there really is no trend as far as homegrown patterned over the last two, right? I mean, look at the last two postseasons. You can't really tell if they're better at home or on the road. It's strange. And when they win, it's not in a close game. It's usually in a blowout. So It's a tough series in many ways, but they can, and if they win tonight, all the pressure's back on Miami. I would make that, you know, probably around a pick 'em, maybe Boston's slight favorite. All the pressure's on Miami there, because God forbid they have to go back to Boston Celtic home crowd that's going to be juiced like you wouldn't believe in a Game 7. So it's possible. Typically, I know 0-150, I get it. But typically it's the team that started the series at plus 400 that's down 3-0, not up 3-0. So I think history could be made, but still not likely.
And typically it's not a team, as we talked about many times, that didn't start out with the home court. So in other words, the team that's down 3-0 in this spot has games 5 and 7, if necessary,
right,
on their home court. So that's a remarkably smaller subset. By the way, there was some news in this series. I don't know if people caught this. Malcolm Brogdon has been playing through a partial tear in the tendon running from his right elbow to his forearm, sources telling The Athletic. I don't know that I've really seen that affect him, but maybe that's just me. But that's the latest on him. I guess this question, you know, because you're right, Tom, that if this gets to game six is the ultimate, you know, sphincter game, as we like to call it, like what drama that will be. But where, like, if we're just doing the sort of narrative of pressure, who do you feel has the pressure tonight? That's the more interesting question. Is it like, are we to believe that Boston is now all carefree and loose after winning game 4? Oh, wow, they've only got history to play for, nothing else. Or is it still them who were the prohibitive favorite before all this started? And by any measure, if they lose, this season is an abject disaster in the end.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I actually think it's still Boston for the reason you just mentioned. It is an abject disaster. If they lose this series, I mean, you had a late 550 of a lot of books on Boston before the series. Nobody's going to care that they came back down 3-2 against the old rival Philadelphia, because all they're going to think about this season is the fact they lost to an 8 seed. Now, not your typical 8 seed, third conference final in 4 years. It's unfair. I mean, you know, listen, think about Purdue with Painter, right? I mean, you're not going to think about their unbelievable Big Ten season. You're going to think about the fact they were bounced by a 16 seed. When you think about this particular team, unfortunately for Boston, they could say, well, man, we got to an Eastern Final, but the fans are going to say, yeah, but we need to break you guys up because obviously you and Jaylen Brown together can't get the job done, fair or unfair. So I think Boston has more pressure. It's a fascinating conversation. I know you guys talk about this sort of thing on air. Like, how much does that matter when you're putting a number on a game? I think it's interesting. That is desperation, mm-hmm. right? I thought this past weekend was the ultimate opportunity to go against the desperation trend. Yeah, Denver 6.5, Miami 4.5. I took a little piece of both. I didn't go too big because there was a part of me that wondered as well. But it's almost like the odds makers are giving 2 points to the desperate team now, assuming that because they're desperate, they're going to be so much better the next time out. We probably talk about that stuff a little too much, desperation, pressure, and everything. I wish I knew how many points you could dock a team or give a team because of both. But I don't know. It's the human condition. To your point, though, for just having some fun with it, yeah, Boston, I still think at this point has more pressure. I do think that flips a little bit, though, like I said, if it goes to a game 6 in Miami, for obvious reasons.
For sure in that case. Yeah, but I mean, I think you're right, everything you're saying. The NBA conference finals have been an amazing sort of case study in what drives betting markets and groupthink. In the Lakers case, just as the ultimate public team where people so desperately wanted to believe they were really good at basketball. Denver just getting disrespect, even after Denver sweeps them. Like, you know, ESPN is starting segments of shows with, wow, LeBron, right? They overcome one of the great historic LeBron quarters of all time. It's like, that's the lead, and it's unbelievable. And obviously in this one, and Kelly and I have talked about this on a numbers game here all week, which is, what is it? Is big sample size is still going to manifest of the whole season, or are the Miami Heat this historical anomaly? Let's move it forward to the potential NBA Finals matchups, obviously Denver versus Miami or Denver versus Boston. How would you view both of those? Like, if you were putting a number, I know this is a horrible question to ask you, but if you were putting a number on either of those matchups, what would you have them at, with Denver having home court against the Heat?
Yeah, all right. So, listen, if Boston plays Denver, I think it's very close. I'd make Boston about a half-point favorite. I was just looking into this. So I would make that very close. Boston has home court advantage. Again, I give around right now about 4.19, I believe my number is. I just checked for home court. But I don't know that it's fair to even give that many points to Boston at home. So you got to consider that. So I would make, in this case, I would make Denver the slight favorite. Oh, I'm sorry. I would make Boston a slight favorite over Denver. You're not going to like this, but I'm thinking about if it is, I should have priced this out and done this before I came on. If you think about the Denver Heat series, I mean, my goodness, you're not going to like it, but I would probably at least, I'd probably price Denver at about 450. Oh, I know you jump on Miami.
No. I would actually be with you. Like, this is not, okay. This is not Boston-Miami to me. I think Denver's the juggernaut. I really do. I think they are about as well-oiled a machine right now as possible. And I do think it's one of those things where Miami might have gotten as far as they could at that point. So I actually think that's a very reasonable number. Does that sound reasonable to you, Kelly, minus 450?
Yeah, I think that that's right around the number we've been hearing from a lot of the sharper, smarter NBA minds I respect, and therefore anything less than that is a good bet.
It was the minus 600 on a schizophrenic Boston team that you're like, what are we doing here? Really? We haven't learned anything yet? So it should be fun either way. Are you making a bet on tonight's game in any case, either way?
Pre-game, I'm not involved. No, like I said, I did make it 8.5. There was a 7.5. Briefly, immediately went up to 8. So I'll probably lay off and maybe look for an in-game opportunity. You know, one bet I think is interesting, guys, that a lot of us probably have a little remorse for not taking. And I think I heard Drew Dinsick call it yesterday making a case for it, or 2 days ago, the 8-1. In fact, earlier in the day, there was 10-1 for Boston to come back. I think that is actually a good price. Of course, you know, it's that old sports betting mentality, though. Once you see that you missed the best number, I have a hard time getting involved, and I did not take the 8-1. I've already invested Boston this year anyway, but to think about the 8-1 now and then where the odds went after the game, I mean, I was seeing as low as plus 230 in the late fourth quarter range. So, you know, you think about some of these bets you could make. But in terms of, anyway, getting to your pressure, in terms of what I'm doing tonight is nothing until the game starts, and there'll be some runs in the game, we shall see.
Tom, always a pleasure. Appreciate you making the time, man.
All right, Gil, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Tom Byrne, host of SiriusXM NBA at 1. Tom Byrne, again, Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight, also on the radio side. So there it is. And yes, again, what he brought up at the end, I'll say it one more time. Both things are true. Right. Even though I had no interest in making that bet as someone who had Miami series plays. Mathematically, that bet on Boston is good. If you ran it through a 4-game parlay calculator, it's a good bet mathematically. Doesn't mean you have to play every edge you see in life, because I don't think it happens. And I still don't. Coming back, let's talk some hockey. Andy McNeil on what was last night and what is tonight and beyond. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with the VSiN Pros subscription. Sign up now for only $9.99 and get access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all this summer action, including NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate the feedback. This is from Martle. Martle's a happy Survivor Day, fellas. Absolutely. Again, if you missed it earlier on Follow the Money, Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Survivor guarantees, 6 and 8 million, millions and Survivor respectively. Entry max, 5 and 10 respectively, millions and Survivor. 10 Survivor entries per person. And like I said, some people might have been doing that already. Not me, but others. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, can we get Kelly the Rosetta Stone Tennis Volume Edition? LOL.
It's really starting to piss me off. It really is.
J-Rod. Hey, Gil, I see a Big Guns, Iga, and Arena minus 185 versus The Field. The Field plus 145 coming back for the Megapod. And again, we're recording the French Open preview right after this show with Drew Dinsick and with Dan Weston. Always, the numbers on tennis podcasts are always just phenomenal. And so I really just appreciate everybody listening to Megapod for years, everything that we do at Beating the Book. But the tennis ones are just, it's amazing how many, the numbers that those get. Obviously, football's going to get them. Just Doug, thanks. I believe that the Celtics are readying the excuses. He says the market, whoever that is, are blinded by their preflop bets. We know that Denver never makes it to the conference, much less the finals, though we just can't see the Heat play. That's from Just Doug, thanks. Let's talk some hockey. Andy McNeil joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, at Digital Gambler from Edmonton, Alberta. Kind enough to hang out with us with his big old microphone and a cool background. By the way, your studio, your lighting looks better than anything I've seen. Dan Besseris might have the best audio, but you got the best video in the biz. Nicely done.
Well, I need the help with the lighting and stuff. I should probably put on a little makeup and whatnot, but you know,
you're good, man. You look good. Well, so let me just okay. So we talk a lot of basketball here this time of year. Obviously, we're obsessed with the NBA. And with hockey, and I said this to you sort of jokingly the other day, I'm going to say it again. It's just me and you talking. Nobody else is listening. Don't you just take the dogs and all this? First, I mean, let's just start. Let's the randomness of all of this. So the Florida Panthers, an 8 seed, who just swept the Carolina Hurricanes, who not only you but others said of the remaining 4 teams, they had them power ranked number 1. They lose each game by a goal. The Panthers with the hot goaltender, although not necessarily last night, they get it done. You are a guy who follows this every single day of the regular season. Do you not step back sometimes and just say to yourself, maybe I am in a sport that is just more random than I'd like to admit, and I just have to accept that's part of doing business here?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think this Eastern Conference final, it'll be remembered for the sweep, of course, but I think anybody who watched will just remember how tightly contested it was. I mean, all games decided by one goal, 2 of those games in overtime. And then, you know, you get to game 4 and it looks like the Carolina Hurricanes might finally be able to score enough goals to win a game and beat Sergei Bobrovsky. And Matthew Tkachuk just shatters their dreams with seconds left and scores the winning goal. Just a really, really tough series. I mean, it could have went a sweep the other way, really. I mean, and nobody would have really been surprised.
So true.
It's going to be interesting to see if this layoff here that looks like it's going to, you know, if Vegas sweeps tonight, there might be a several days between the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the Panthers and Sergei Bobrovsky specifically can kind of maintain the level of play that they've been on. And, you know, his hot streak, I mean, he probably doesn't want to leave the rink right now. And I'm just really wondering about how this long layoff might affect that.
Yeah, and what you said, several days, it's really more than that, right? It's like, so the NBA, the NBA finals is locked in to June 1st. Isn't the Stanley Cup finals locked into June 3rd? Do I have that wrong? A week from Saturday?
I believe it's locked in. I'm not 100% sure if there's any you know, flexibility in that. But yeah, it looks like it's locked in for June 3rd. So if the Western Conference final ends tonight, that's a pretty long stretch, and it'll be really interesting. I mean, the rest is a good thing for players that are maybe banged up and whatnot. And I guess both teams will have to deal with it if the Vegas Golden Knights do sweep tonight. But yeah, like with a team like Florida specifically and Vegas, I mean, they're rolling right now. I don't think they want this at all.
Yeah. By the way, if you Google up the Stanley Cup finals, it says June 8th, but I think they did amend that to June 3rd. But still, it's like it's an amazing, you know, span of games. And let's get to tonight's game 4. Obviously, there's no Jamie Benn now for the Dallas Stars, not only this game, but a potential game 5 as well. You know, there's a lot of people who made Boston Celtics bets after game 3. I don't know one person who's making a Dallas Stars bet here. this is a coin flip in terms of tonight's game in Dallas. Did you do anything with this game specifically?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think the Stars will have a chance tonight. I think it is a coin flip game. It's really tough to take anything away from game 3 because of how things went down. I mean, Vegas scores early, and then Jamie Benn makes that bonehead decision, and everything just spiraled out of control from there. And they were down 3-0 before the midway point of the first period. So obviously they weren't able to battle back, but it's just tough to take anything else away from that game. And now the Stars are in a really tough spot. I'm interested in one player prop, though. It's a guy I've been riding quite a bit here. I haven't really talked a whole lot about him publicly because his shot prop was set at 1.5. Trending, you know, toward the -200s. But I thought it was a really good bet. And now that it's at 2.5 and it was +130 in game 3, now it's down to +110 because Wyatt Johnson, the 20-year-old rookie for the Dallas Stars is just really turning a lot of heads right now. He's hit the net at least 4 times in his last 4 games. He's gone over 2.5 shots, hit the net 3 times, 9 out of 15 times this postseason. He lost both of his line mates in the last game, Jamie Benn and Evgeny Dadonov, and we're not sure about Dadonov's status heading into game four. But he could be playing on a totally different line, and typically I'd you know, maybe be a bit hesitant to go back to the well on this guy, but he's actually been bumped up to the first power play unit, and that puts him in a really good spot to get some looks as well. So I'm going to go back on Wyatt Johnson over 2.5 shots, plus 110 at several sports books today.
All right, so something to bet on pre-flop tonight's game. And then here's the ultimate question then. You know, going to the Andy McNeil computer here. What do you make of Florida Panthers Vegas Golden Knights series price?
Well, I think Vegas will win the series somewhere around 60% of the time. That's kind of what I'm getting right now. I'll finalize things after the Western Conference Final, write up a preview. I'm sure we'll have lots of other content leading up to the Stanley Cup Final. But yeah, I think the Panthers are going to be a sizable dog here, and I mean, they've been outplayed in a lot of games. They're like a testament to you know, how they're able to just settle into that and kind of be okay with getting caved in and getting outplayed. A lot of teams just really, really crumble, and the Panthers have kind of learned to live with that and you know, be who they are. But the Golden Knights are going to be a tough team, and I mean, I've doubted them all postseason long, and I've paid for it, and I don't know if I'll be doubting them on the series price. I'm going to guess Vegas will be a bit of a sizable favorite, but I could see myself backing the Panthers in some games in a series versus the Vegas Golden Knights for sure.
Yeah, but you have it at about 60% or minus 150 is what you're saying.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Just for giggles, let's say history did happen, right? The fifth time it would be in NHL history where the Stars overcame a 3-0 deficit to beat the Golden Knights. What would that series price be?
I didn't even run it, to be
honest.
Yeah,
I would imagine you wouldn't.
Happen, but
yeah.
It would be much lower, much probably closer to minus 130 ish in favor of the Stars.
Okay.
But not really sure. Like I said, I haven't considered it.
Before you go here, Conn Smythe. So we were just throwing around. You know, this is before Tkachuk scored with just under 5 seconds last night. Because right now, you know, it was a two-headed monster with the Panthers. It was Tkachuk, and then it felt like it was Bobrovsky, and now again it feels like Tkachuk again. You're like, okay, those are the two guys, and you're probably, you know, best having some action on both. If it's the Golden Knights right now, let's say they won this, let's say the Stanley Cup had just happened, who is their guy in your opinion?
I think it probably goes to Jack Eichel, just because of, you know, the narrative, the fact that this is his first time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he's shown up in such a big way. He's been an impact player. You know, you never know that. You never know the answer to that question until a guy gets a chance, and he's really been great in these playoffs. So I think he's the front runner for Vegas. No surprise there. Mark Stone's come on quite a bit. I just don't think he's. I think the people that are really, you know, watching each and every game of that Vegas has played have just seen, you know, what a force Eichel has been. Stone has been good, but I don't think he's been as good as Eichel. But I do think, you know, you've got to maybe consider a guy like Jonathan Marchessault, who is at, you know, 14 or 15 to 1 right now. He's scored some big goals in some series, and you know, you never know what could happen in a Stanley Cup final. But yeah, I think it's Jack Eichel's award to lose if Vegas comes into the series against Florida as big of a favorite as I think they will be.
Market lines up with you right now. Eichel 4-1 and Mark Stone plus 650 to win the Conn Smythe right now. Andy, enjoy the game tonight, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Gil.
Andy McNeil. Kelly and I look at some NFL rookie matchups next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place the same game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your same game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We have some breaking news for the ball game tonight. What you got, Kelly?
Yeah, we do. Gabe Vincent is out for the game tonight after that ankle injury we saw.
The ankle roll.
End of the game. Yep.
Yeah. Landed on the floor himself, not on anybody else.
Yeah.
And rolled the ankle.
So, it's look, man, he's been great at times for them this season. And 17 points that last game, 29 in game three, 15 in game one. So pretty significant loss. He's been one of those stellar role players for the Heat. And, I don't know how much it changes things, Gil, because this has just been the next man up, personified with the Miami Heat all postseason long. I did make a little bet on Caleb Martin over his point prop. The point's got to come from somewhere. I think a lot of people will immediately go to the assists. Gabe Vincent, 4-3-0-2 are his assists in this series. The ball's running through Jimmy Butler so much. Kyle Lowry, who knows how much more of workload he ends up taking on tonight. I think the scoring is where Miami's going to need to make up more of that. So we've seen Caleb Martin have a successful series so far. I went back to that 13.5 as his point prop. I just played a little bit on the over.
Caleb Martin, who those of us from this neck of the woods, it's always interesting to see, like, you know, and again, Spoelstra and others have sort of pushed back on the whole, look, it's four undrafted players, you know, doing all this stuff for the Heat, so they don't like that narrative because these guys have been playing for a while. But Caleb Martin was outstanding in college. Like, he was phenomenal at Nevada. So none of this is a surprise for those of us who live here in this part of the country. But just to hear that sort of national narrative, like, this guy came out of nowhere. Not exactly on that. We get texts, we get tweets. There's a text from a Bill 80, Kelly. He says, I'm sorry, my white gloves fell asleep early. And we just got the email from him as well. Bill 80, who failed to put in the tennis picks this morning. This is from, let's see, this is from, okay. First of all, Doug Wedge, he says, by the way, we're talking about Worcester, Mass earlier. He goes, I think it's Worcester. Pretty sure that's it. Spelled, by the way, Kelly, in case you were wondering, WORCESTER.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that one.
Okay, so Norman Vegas, thank you for this text, because we were talking earlier about, okay, so the NBA Finals is locked in to June 1st. Doesn't matter when the conference finals end. The NBA Finals begins no earlier, no later than June the 1st. The NHL is a sliding, moving target. So again, if you Google NHL Stanley Cup Finals, June 8th is what will appear. As recently as last night during the broadcast of the Hurricanes-Panthers game, they said it's a week from Saturday, which would be June 3rd. Now we're getting word, and thank you, Norman Vegas, for pointing this out. He says on NHL radio, they reported through NHL insiders that if the Golden Knights win tonight, game one will be here in Vegas Wednesday, May 31st. Don't you prefer that?
Hell yeah.
Don't you prefer that system where you can slide it like that?
Yeah. I don't know if I really understand it.
The NBA one?
Or, like, why can one league do it and one can't, right? Wouldn't the obvious reason be
that's a great question.
That you've booked arena dates or something for, you know, concerts and whatever? Like, I understand if the NBA is like, look, we can't do this because, like, we've had to figure these things out with the arenas. I don't know. I don't know how all this stuff works.
Or is it the boxing promotion feel of, well, we just need time to promote this unbelievable event? No, it's not that either.
I don't think it's that.
I don't think it is either. I don't know.
I don't really know, because now I'm even thinking about what I just said.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense.
Nope.
Because the arenas wouldn't probably be, or they probably need to leave dates carved out just in case a team goes that far.
And then didn't we just have something recently in the NBA where they pushed back a Janet Jackson concert anyway?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah, that was in Atlanta. Yeah.
In Atlanta, that's right. Pushed back Janet Jackson.
So, I don't know how it works. Yeah. So, yeah.
Seems like
what a horrible, useless conversation we just had for a minute.
You're welcome. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're here for. All right, rookie season matchup bets. NFL, that is. Obviously, the NFL draft in our rear view. Let's talk about some quarterback, wideout, and even some defensive matchups. Let's start with more passing yards. Who's going to have more passing yards? C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young? Bryce Young of the Carolina Panthers, C.J. Stroud of the Houston Texans, picked 1 and 2. Minus 115 on each side. More passing yards. C.J. Stroud in Houston, Bryce Young in Carolina. What is the What is the mental gymnastics you go through to make this season-long bet? Would you, first of all, let me just say this. Who's making this bet? Would you make this? I would never have my money tied up for this
Probably
bet.
Not. I mean, it would be lean Bryce Young's way, but simply because of what, like, there's a little bit more talent, I think, on that Carolina team.
I'm not leaning either
way. I guess there's a possibility that Stroud doesn't start the year, but I would be shocked by
that. Is there? I don't know. More passing touchdowns for the two of them. Bryce Young somehow is a bit of a favorite. Minus 120 as opposed to minus 110 on Stroud. So the slightest favorite. Again.
The next two were more interesting to me.
Not all of these are wonderful wagers, by the way. More receiving yards. Okay, this is interesting. Jordan Addison at minus 125 and Jackson Smith and Jigba at minus 105. So Addison, Jordan Addison, a bit of a favorite in terms of more receiving yards in that one.
I think that one makes sense to me. That bet makes sense. He's going to get no Adam Thielen there anymore. You're going to get a lot of targets in Minnesota. Jackson Smith to Jigba, but what? He's going to be the third wide receiver to start off with, at least. It doesn't mean, obviously, in the NFL, we're playing with a lot of three wide receiver sets. He could be great. He could be the better wide receiver. I just think you're going to see, if I'm handicapping a market like this, it's who's going to get more targets throughout the year. Addison's probably getting more targets,
you're,
most likely.
You're handicapping opportunities. That's right. You're handicapping targets. What happens after that is, you know, good luck on that.
Right.
But it's Kirk Cousins. It's Geno Smith. It's Minnesota. It's Seattle. Seattle always wants to establish the run, and that's no different this year as Pete Carroll just keeps on drafting running backs.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I didn't even really think about that side as much, but like, what's the other with Minnesota, we just keep hearing more and more still about Dalvin Cook trade rumor possibilities. Like, maybe that, if that happens, this team could be very reliant on the passing.
Justin Jefferson is always going to get double teamed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in the back of my head, you know what I'm saying? As I'm saying all of this logically leading to a bet to Jordan Addison, in the back of my head, I'm like, Jackson Smith and Jigba is fantastic.
He's really good.
He's amazing. So again, would you put money down for an entire season on this? I don't know that you would, but I think Addison is appropriately a slight favorite. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And then good luck on this. More sacks.
This one I think I'd bet.
Okay, let's talk about this. Yeah. So Will Anderson versus Tyree Wilson. Will Anderson, Houston Texans, minus 265. Tyree Wilson on the comeback, plus 210. So you like Tyree Wilson here?
Yeah, you know what my handicap is? Just the number.
Just the number.
I mean, you're giving me over 2-1 in a season-long matchup where, both these teams are not going to be very good. But, like, do we really think Will Anderson is going to have all that more opportunities at getting more sacks than Tyree Wilson?
This more than anything, I think this is what you're articulating here, is...
Not well, probably.
No. I got it. Which is, you have one dude who plays for the Texans, you have another who plays for the Raiders. We don't know anything.
No!
And so if one of them, and it doesn't matter who, is getting over $2, why even delve into the minutiae of this? You just sort of automatically would bet the plus $2 guy, because none of us knows.
I mean, like, the final could be like 5-4 sacks for these guys this year. Like, it's, I mean, I don't think Will Anderson could be amazing 8 years from now, Gil. Like, he might be, not even that, 4 years from now, he might be one of the best pass rushers in the league.
Steady as she goes.
But I'm not expecting him to come into the league and throw up double-digit sacks in his first season. I don't think anybody is.
And also, if we just go to, what was the conventional wisdom, and again, take this for what it's worth, but what was the narrative of these two guys before the draft, and I get it, Houston traded up back up to get Anderson. Anderson was considered this guy who's always going to be really solid in your defense for many, many years. But the upside, a lot of people thought Tyree's ceiling was higher.
Yep.
So, I don't know. If you make one of these bets, is it Addison as a slight favorite or is it Tyree as the big dog?
No, it would be Tyree.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
That was pretty much
it. I mean, if you're going to make a bet for a year, might as well have some bang for your buck on that.
Exactly.
Anyway, Bill Krakenberger joins us on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know this, but it's Thursday, and that means Unscripted with the Crack Man. I don't know what's on his mind, but I'll certainly ask him about Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, what he plans on playing this year, how many entries he plans on having. He'll be open about it. Crackman next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.